This is an interview with Mrs. Valerie Cook for the Batty Library Oral History Programme. Mrs. Cook was born in Geraldton in 1897 in the Murchison Inn. Her father, Henry Eaton, was a hotel keeper, and a later period in the Ship Inn was followed by another in the Miners Arms Hotel in Northampton. One quick question about Northampton. Did you ever get out and see the mines?
Yes, up on top of the hill at the, what do they call it? Wananooka, was it? Wananooka Hill? There's a mine there.
Yes.
We did go up. We could walk up there. That wasn't very far, really, out of Northampton. And the Badger Mine, my sister, Mrs. Logan, they lived not far from the Badger Mine, their farm, and she used to make butter, and homemade butter, of course, with a hand churn, and grow vegetables, and had to milk the cows. And her two sons, Glenn and Les, who was after a Member of Parliament, they used to take in a spring cart over to the Badger Mine, used to take vegetables and cream and butter and milk over there and sell it to the miners. He remembers it, but only just.
Mr. Eddie Hannam was born at Donnybrook on the 21st of March, 1910.
He said, "Well, when you're ready to start, you can come out." He was the manager of Big Bell Mines.
What actually did a machine miner do? You said when you went to Big Bell you wanted to become a machine miner.
Oh, well, you drilled the holes and fired them and then bogged them out and you rigged up and drilled the next cut.
Were you handling explosives?
Yeah.
Did you have to have a ticket for that?
No. You just went around to the explosives office underground and asked for whatever you needed to charge up the holes and you charged the holes and they were all electric required. And you'd couple them all up and they had an instrument they called a hootenanny. So then the side of the shaft had to be sunk. So I took the first cut out of the shaft, bored it and fired it. And they said, "Well, now you can bog it out." Well, I said, "Barley's on that. I'm getting cheeky by this time, you see. I'm a full-blooded miner."
This morning I'm talking to Jack Beaver at his room, and we're about to discuss Jack's activities with his camel teams. And Jack, how did you first become involved with camels?
Well, I first went to work as a station hand on Talleyrand Twin Peaks Station, owned by Boddington's. And after a while I was working there, and they had two teams, a horse team and a camel team, which they used to cart their wool to Pindar with. Well, I went off siding for the camel team chap there, and help him with camels. They were breaking in a few young camels, you see, and he had needed help. And it used to take you 5 days to do a trip down to Pindar and 5 days back again. It was 90 miles from 90 to 95 miles from Twin Peaks to Pindar. And at one time, I remember, out between Talleyrand and Pindar,
There was four or five teams bogged there, and they used to put 20 or 30 camels onto a wagon, and you'd finish up, they'd finish up breaking chains and breaking, trying to get out of this bog. They'd have to, they used to cut timber, jack up the wagons, and put what you would call the timber underneath the wheels to give them the start, so they wouldn't be sinked down all the time. Well, as a young fellow then, I was only about 16, I think, I used to be the boy that run into town to fetch about the whiskey to keep them going.
Jack, you said the other day that you worked at the Mooloona gold mine.
Oh,
can
yes.
Can you describe the working conditions, what you did, what the job was there?
Well, as I say, I first started on the down underground on the levels, and we used to work on a big haul that used to come down from a top level somewhere down through a chute onto what we called a grizzly bars. And we used to have to, if a big piece of ore got stuck anywhere up the chute, we used to have to crawl up there. You'd probe it with a big long stick, about 20 foot long if you could loosen it up, to get it through. But if you couldn't shift with that, then you had to get three or four plugs of gelignite and a big plug of mud, and you'd take it up that chute and you'd put it in a position where it would blow that, loosen that rock up or break it up. Well, from there I went on to the machine mining. And we used to use both machines, you know, Holman. There used to be a big Holman we used to set up and drill old 6 foot holes into the bench wall and all that sort of thing. Well, I was only there, I think, a bit over 12 months, from about around about 40, 39 and 40, and I joined up in 42, the army.
This is an interview with Eric Wyatt, who was born in Jibberit, Victoria in 1928. So in those days, Coolgardie, Kalgoorlie, Mount Ida, and all, the gold discoveries were pretty close together, and the establishment of these gold towns was happening all the time, Eric.
Yeah, well, the government had to keep up with it because they were squealing for transport, and the only transport, heavy transport, was a railway. And when they came up from Menzies, from Kalgoorlie to Menzies, they made Menzies a depot, temporarily, of course, and then they found gold at Kukini, and then places along the road. So Kukini was, let's put a railway up to Kukini. So they fought like hell to get it. They got it, and they completed that within 12 months. And then the Leonora show was going flat out. They still wanted people to transport their heavy gear up there. There was big machinery, like crushing stuff and all the stuff that goes with mining in the old days. And they had to transport somehow, and so Leonora people and Warlia people and Mount Malcolm's decided, well, we should have a railway too. So they extended, and they kept following the people to the gold. As you see in that book there, the Railways of the Midwest, they followed the gold.
Jim, would you give me your full name and tell me when and where you were born?
My full name's James Robert Patterson, short is Jim. Was born in Victoria Park at a maternity hospital, but our residence was actually at Kenwick.
And what was that date, Jim?
6th of July 1938.
You actually took on a job at the Coolanooga iron ore mine. Would you like to explain that to me?
Yes, I guess for many and varied reasons, farming wasn't working out particularly good, and Coolanooga was under construction. I actually witnessed the first train of load of ore depart from Coolanooga. It was a big learning curve. We were working on equipment that in many cases were the only ones in the state. Coolanooga was the first iron ore to leave the Australian mainland, and therefore it was a training ground for many. Once Dalesworthy got going, then quite a few people gained skills at Coolanooga before moving further north. I was looked upon as the caterpillar man, and I guess it's fair to say that having worked for Wigmore's, I got a fair injection of yellow paint into my veins then. I was in some ways seen to be a farmer, and I was coming up through the ranks of the miners. Elaine's dad passed away, and so we were given the opportunity to buy into the family farm. And so towards the end of the iron ore project, we actually moved back to our farming. So I never actually saw the last train load of ore go out, but it was pretty close to it.